All right. I'm going to ask you to stay standing. I'm going to ask you to stay standing out of respect for God's word. And if you have a Bible, you're welcome to turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. We're going to read verses 42 to 47. Acts 2, 42 to 47. If you don't have a Bible, I think we have it on the overhead. Acts 2, 42 to 47. Hear the word of the Lord. And all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them, and all the apostles performed many miracles and signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared their money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day and met in homes for the Lord's Supper and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Let's pray. And I'm asking today, Lord, that the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts would be pleasing in your sight. And as the prophet Samuel prayed long ago, we pray at this moment, speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. And all God's people said, amen. You can have a seat. Well, I don't know about you, but I feel like we've had church. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
What a cool thing for an early church to be able to experience what we experienced today. And I'm just glad and thrilled that you are here today. I just returned last night at 5 o'clock from all places, Prague, the Republic of Czech. And I had the privilege and the honor to train over 100 European leaders, not missionaries, but European leaders. And it did my heart good to be around Russians, Polish, Croatians, Bosnians, Albanians, you name it, British, even the British. It was a great time to be there and know that God is up to some really amazing, cool things. We had a service, the last service last evening was so powerful. We actually did what we do at Mosaic, if you're new. We did a healing service, that's right, with the leaders. I told them, I said, take off your hat. You're not a pastor here. You're not a leader here. You're just a follower of Jesus here, and we want to minister to you. And it was amazing. For about an hour, hour and a half, we were able to pray blessings on people who were in desperate need on the front lines serving, and had an opportunity to give them what I would call a cup of cold water when they were deeply, deeply thirsty. And so today, it's my desire to share with you from God's word a pretty powerful thing. We have been leading up to Easter in a series in which I entitled The Road to the Cross. And the premise, for those of you who were not here, was this. At the foot of the cross, there's incredible gifts. At the foot of the cross, there is so amazing things for each and every one of us. It does not matter where you come from, what you've done, what your language, what your skin color is, what your economics are. At the foot of the cross, we're all equal. And at that cross, we receive these amazing gifts. And that's what we've been talking about. And today, yeah, you can put your hands together for that. And then today, we are continuing on, and we're switching, but still staying on that theme. Instead of entitled The Road to the Cross, we're actually beginning a series, The Road of the Cross. After we come to the cross, the next question for all of us then is this: how then shall I live my life? Once I come to the foot of the cross, how then shall I live my life? And so we're going to look at that over the next several weeks. And the first thing we're going to look at, which I believe is the most critical of all, is what I'm calling community. We look at this passage of scripture in Acts 2, which I got to confess, I have probably preached out of Acts 2 more than any other passage of the Bible because it's so critically important. They got it, they understood it, and they multiplied as a result. I want to model them. Can somebody say amen? So how then shall I live? For those of you who know, I like to illustrate with chairs. And so I'm going to illustrate with three chairs. And my question to you today is, which chair do you sit in as it relates to relationships? Chair number one is the chair that simply says, I have no relationships. I'm lonely. I may attend a church, but people don't know me. My relationships are only necessary for me to get done what I need to get done. My relationships are dependent upon my job, my profession. Do you know Christians sit in this chair? Christian leaders sit in this chair. All of their relationships are dependent on what they do, not a relationship. And the problem with that, as soon as that job, that ministry is finished or passed on, that relationship is no more. Chair number one, I'm lonely. I have no relationships. God help me. Chair number two, I have lots of relationships, but they stink. I'm in conflict. Conflict in my family, conflict in my church, conflict at my job. And it feels like my entire life is I'm battling back and forth in these struggles, and I'm really beat down, and I don't know what to do. Here obviously is the goal, chair number three. I have relationships. Life is tough, but in these relationships, I can go heart to heart. I can have relationships with people. They know me, I know them. It's not dependent on what I do. It's simply their love for me and my love for them. It's called unconditional. This is the chair number three, the church is supposed to be in, but we have missed it over and over again. I have traveled the world many, many times. America has many good qualities as a culture, but community and relationships is a weak area of ours. Many of us sit in chair number one or chair number two. Today, I'm asking us, if we are going to be the church that we need to be, we're going to have to move to chair number three. I know that I know in my own life, is it not easy to lose your way? Yes or no? It is easy to lose your way because of sin, because of challenge, because of conflict. It does all these things to you. And so it's really important that we come together and understand what we can do together is much greater than we can do by ourselves. Now, the mission of Mosaic has been clear from day one. It's to know him and to make him known. Would you repeat after me? To know him.
Know him.
Say it again. To know him, and to make him known. And to make him known. Everybody can understand that. It's the mission of any church. They can wrap it, package it any way they want, but at the end of the day, the church exists is to know Christ and to make him known. Looks different for all of us, but that is it. Here's what I want you to realize is if you don't know him, you can't make him known. You can't give what you don't have. The greatest gift you will give the world, listen to me, is this, is your own intimacy with Jesus. It's the greatest gift you will ever give. Nothing else. The greatest gift you will ever give is your own intimacy with him. So here we are as a new church on a new era. Some of you are checking us out because we have this kind of consumer mentality. Is it a place I could really worship at? Do they relate to me? And I'm here to tell you, we are who we are. And Mosaic as a new church is committed to being community. And when I say being community, here's what I mean. Number one, is that we will welcome everyone. Did you hear me? Everybody is welcome at Mosaic. It does not matter what you believe, where you're at, the sin you're in, and here's the crazy thing about it. It doesn't mean we agree with all that you do, but you are loved here regardless and accepted here because of you, not what you do. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Now, the crazy thing is the second thing about Mosaic is not only is everybody welcome here, but the second thing is this, is that we are not a church just to leave our mess here. We are a church and a community that desires to see healing in Jesus' name. Can somebody say amen? We believe that you can actually have healing in your life today, that the gospel and the cross is powerful enough for all of our stuff, and he desires for us to connect with Jesus. We are welcoming everybody. We are seeing people healed with everybody. We're also equipping people. We're not going to tell you just to love God. We're going to show you how to love God. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
How you actually live it out Monday through Saturday, equipping and calling people out. We are a community that believes in this. If you believe in anything else, then we have a different starting point. In a world where it's not politically correct, I'm here to proudly declare to you that this is the center of truth. It will always be truth. It's what I will hold on with my last breath. This community believes in this. Not only that, we are what you just saw today. We are a sending church. We took on Luke and Kyla, I think, our second week into existence. Started to support them financially, and I don't even have a balanced budget. Don't even have it. We're still at the church planning process, but God said to us, you're going to do this, you're going to model this, and you're going to bless people. They will not be the first ones sent out. I assure you, God is going to call people from this church, from all skins, colors, from all ethnicities, to go to the nations, because that's the mission of Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
We are commissioning in a few short weeks a team that will be going with me in a few weeks to Sri Lanka. Then shortly after that, I'll be taking some of the youth in July to Haiti. We are already practicing as a church what it means to actually be a sending church here and now. And obviously, as a community, if you come to Mosaic and you like only one style, you will not like Mosaic. Mosaic is multiple styles, one truth. So, having said that, if you have your notes there, let me give you some things that I think are essential for us to have community. And if you see there, the first one is there's some necessary ingredients to belonging. And would you repeat after me, say, we need each other. Look at somebody and say, we need each other. Say it again, we need each other. Now we see here in Acts chapter 2 a clear of what it actually means to be community. Okay, if you're in Acts 2, it's a clear what the ingredients are. What was the first thing in verse 42? Is they had the common teaching. And they continued to teach it over and over and over again. That Jesus rose from the dead. He sits at the Father's right hand side. The Holy Spirit fills you up. He will control you. He gives you all you need for life. It is living and active, and it's for you and I today. They continued to teach this. How often it says there? Daily. Daily they continued to come to the apostles' teaching. It was who they were. When we came out to Mike and Rhonda, I gave them the apostolic creed that they would follow what we believe and know this is what we are. Secondly, was not only did they actually do the teaching, but they had fellowship. That's a Greek word there in verse 42 that is koinonia. And koinonia basically means this. You have common spirit and you have common purpose. So we come together under common teaching as the early church did. We come together under common fellowship and common mind. And then all of a sudden we get drawn together and we do the third thing and it's called common eating. Can somebody say amen? Eating is a pretty powerful thing. It really is. Eating at a table does with other people is a very, very important thing. When people ask my wife and I how we reached so many Muslims for Christ over the years, they ask me over and over again, what was the plan? What was the strategy? And I said, we went to their house and had a meal. They came to our house and had a meal. We went to their house and had a meal. They came to our house and had a meal. We had common fellowship. We ate together. As a church, we need to do exactly the same thing on a big level and in small levels. And so as a matter of fact, after this church service, we are having an all-church party. Anybody want to stay and have some free food? You didn't even know that, right? We are providing free food for you to actually do what Acts chapter 2 is. We want community. You are encouraged to eat with somebody you don't know and begin to engage people that are different than you. That's the only way we'll ever get community. Now, I understand that may be challenging for you, but this is what Scripture says. And when they had common fellowship, it says in verse 42, and when they ate together, they did another thing. They prayed together. What did we just do earlier? We prayed together. Praying together does something that is powerful. Here's what I know to be true. You ready? I've seen churches split. I've seen churches in struggle. I've seen marriages split. I've seen marriages struggle. But I have never seen a church split. I have never seen a marriage struggle who came to me and said, we're splitting, we're struggling, and we pray together every day. Never happened. It's never happened. But I have seen many churches split and struggle, and I have seen many marriages split and struggle when prayer was never a part of their relationship. So we are committed to pray together, not only on a Sunday, but on a Tuesday, and in many ways. That's what chair one is all about today, chair three is all about, my friends. And so it says that they shared after they prayed, it says in verse 44, then they were unified. They were all different, and yet they came together, and there was this kindred spirit. And then from there, they were in awe who God was. They saw mighty miracles of God. And then they started selling their possessions. Crazy, wild things that Americans would like. That is not possible. The thing about Mosaic that is such the tension, you ready? There's tension here. You know what it is? I said it is possible that we can have a multi-economic church. And when I said that, that means this. Those who do not have anything, those who live on the street, can actually worship beside somebody who actually has something. The struggle is not with the one who does does not have. The struggle is with the person who does have. Can they actually worship beside somebody who doesn't have? I believe the cross says we can. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Now, what we see here is that they were unified and they looked out and they started selling. It didn't say they sold everything. It said they sold what they had and there was no need among them. We've depended on the United States government. Where is the church? Can somebody say amen? Amen. When is the church going to rise up and be the church and be the witness throughout the neighborhoods, throughout the areas, throughout the family situations, and actually be the answer to the world's issues? Can I get an amen? The early church, they got it. We still struggle with that. We have been trained, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine. What have we already said here today? Nothing, absolutely nothing, even your kids, nothing is yours. They are a gift of God that you are given to be a steward of to release. Your talent, not yours. Your family, not yours. The country you live in, not yours. Your charisma, not yours. The air you breathe, not yours. Everything you have, everything I have, comes from the one above. His name is Jesus. And they shared everything they had, verse 45, amongst them. And then it says in verse 46, how did they keep this together? It says they met regularly for worship. Let us not give up on meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another all the more as we see the day of Christ approaching. In America, I don't need the church. In America, I can watch it on TV. In America, I can do it on the radio. I'm here to tell you the hope of the world is the church because Jesus is in the church, whether you like it or not. That's the venue he's chosen for us to be salt and light. Can I get an amen? They worshiped together and it brought them together. And as we look at this, what is the difference between this early church in Acts and the church in 2017 in the United States of America? One thought is this. They understood community, and we do not. As a matter of fact, I would guess that most of us, if you do read the Bible, most of us read the Bible with a very individualistic viewpoint. We look at it and we read it as it relates to me only. You need to realize in the Middle East, in the context in which this was written, most of the people read it in a community kind of an experience. Not just me, but the people around me. This affects me and them. We're all interconnected together. And until we start to read scripture from that context, rather than just me, we're going to have a big problem because individualism leads to consumerism. And consumerism says, what can I get out of church? Community says, what can we do as church? There's a big difference. We've got people all over the place trying to figure out what I can get out of church. And I'm here to tell you, it's not what you can get out of church. It's what you can do through the church together. Can I get an amen? So we see the difference between these. And the second thing I would say to you, the difference was this, is that they were under persecution. They knew when they stood up that they could die for their faith. They knew every time in that early church when they were coming together that they could be arrested. There was a guy named Saul doing that, right? He became Paul. He was taking dads away and he was putting him in jail. You read it in scripture. But it didn't stop them. They continued to get together. I was humbled this week as I looked on my Russian brothers and sisters and the challenges that they're facing, but their zeal and their passion. Two young Albanian guys in their early 20s with all the issues they got going on in Albania, and they are committed that their nation will be changed. Croatian, all the war that happened there with Bosnia and all of that, and these young men standing up and saying, we will win our nation for Jesus. I understand that sometimes God works even greater in the middle of persecution than when it's all easy and it's comfortable. Challenge we have in America is that you can take it or you can leave it. You can pick it up on Sunday and leave it on Sunday night. You can do your own life this way and then come back on Sunday all dressed up and looking good and miss the whole point of the whole relationship with Jesus. So you and I need to understand today that we need to get back to what this is all about, because when they did all that, why is this all so important? Why is this community so important? Verse 47. And as a result of everything that they did in this scripture, what's it say in verse 47? And God added to their number how often? How often? Daily, those being saved. I don't know if you understand this or not, but the mission of the church is to continue to reach as many lost people as we can and to be the hands and feet of Jesus. He promises here what he did way back then They didn't have the resources we had. They didn't have the people that we had. They didn't have the training that we had. They had none of that, but they had the power of the Holy Spirit, because he said in Acts 1:8, and when you receive the Holy Spirit, you will receive power. Power that will enable you and I to say no to sin. Power that enables us to stand up when everything else says to compromise. In that moment, that is when you are going through pain and suffering, when you are going through your doubts, when everything inside of you screams and says stop, and in that moment you have the ability to stand strong for Jesus, that's the moment that the power of God is revealed and the glory of Jesus is seen by all nations. Can I get an amen? That's the truth. And so our action plan in this church, this new church, is simply say this. Would you repeat after me? Say, Lord, add to our number. One more time. Lord, add to our number. So we are committing to do as this church did. We are committing to biblical truths, providing venues for you to have intimate levels of sharing, eating, and praying together, providing help for those in need. And although what was so beautiful about yesterday, you ready? What was so beautiful about this young church, who doesn't even have a balanced budget, who's still living by faith, there were so many of you that went to the north end that we had more. I wasn't there, I was coming back from Europe. There was more volunteers than it was even needed. And somebody, my wife told me that, and I said, that's a good thing. I know some churches can't get enough people to do anything. We do our first outreach with all this food, and we had so many people, they were all actually having community. You know you were doing community. Right. Community is serving together. It's not that it's perfect and we get it all together, but that's when you connect. Why are short-term mission trips so amazing? Short-term mission trips are the ability for you to do an experience together with somebody, and it draws you like this because God has radically changed your life, and these folks were in your life in that moment, and it changes everything. I'm here to tell you today that we are committed to doing exactly that, understanding. Now, why is it so hard to connect? Why is chair one and two so easy and this one so hard? It's pretty obvious, isn't it? Goes all the way back to Genesis 3. When we decide, Adam and Eve decided to walk away from God, we are feeling the repercussions of that this very day. The repercussions in our families, and the repercussions in our churches, the repercussions in our neighborhoods, and the repercussion in our country, that this is the norm and this is not. But I'm here to tell you today, this chair, true community, authentic community, I will breathe it, I will shout it, regardless of the odds, until my last breath. I do believe this is possible, and I will strive for it with everything I've got. The question is, will you join me? Chair three is the answer for all of this, and these are the ingredients. We all need community. Even people without faith, they will find somebody to engage with. Whether that is the guys that hang out with sports or in the pubs or the bars or you name it, we find community or we are deeply lonely. But the powerful thing of practicing Acts chapter 2 is that we, in that moment, we begin to find purpose. We aren't wandering around trying to figure it out. We join a dream and become a part of that dream, and it makes all the difference in the world. We get energized. We go to bed at night knowing that I am living for something that's more than me, that will outlast me. That's the beauty of being a part of a movement. It's never about one individual. It's never about one person, but it's about the only one, Jesus, and it's about what he's called us to do. Can I get an amen? How I know that to be true is that it hit me. My daughter called me this morning. She is finishing up her junior year at university. And next year she'll come back here. She's going to Sri Lanka with us. She's going out on a ministry team all summer. We said goodbye to her 3 years ago, Luke. And we drove away from that university because she has her mommy and daddy spirit. I knew that I knew we'd never have her back. She was 18. When we pulled away from that time, it was nothing like I could ever express to you. The joy of pride for who she is and what she is, the releasing and the pain of releasing somebody you care for so much. And yet, she talked to me this morning and she says, it was so crazy to me while I was in Europe and talking to her this morning, is she's finishing her junior year and then she's going to go next year in her internship back to a country called Azerbaijan that she went to when she was 1 year old. And 21 or 22 years later, she's now going back as a missionary, as an intern, and willing to actually go career back in the land that she grew up in when she's way high. That is pretty amazing to see the full picture of what it means that we are called to do, understanding that we are connected to something bigger than us. The problem in churches today is that it's all personality driven. And if a church is personality driven, that personality, good or bad, they're not going to be there. Faces come and faces go. But if you get connected to the mission of God and the heart of God, that movement continues on regardless of who's in the lead. As long as the lead is doing what they need to do in Jesus' name. Can I get an amen? Amen. I'll give you a couple of the thoughts in closing. Second thing, there's necessary pitfalls to avoid. Would you repeat after me? Say, get out of that pit. Say it again, get out of that pit. And I'm here to tell you that community is more than a potluck. And it's more than a worship service. It's a whole lot more. The temptation is to stay in chair number one and chair number two. I remember when my wife and I came back from overseas, we realized for the first time coming back to our culture that the vast majority of people lived in chair number one and chair number two. Matter of fact, you know the people that we really like to hang out with? These were kids that were the age of 12 and under and people over the age of 65. Because after 65, you finally get that it's really about relationships and not everything else, generally speaking. And when you're 12, you don't really give a care about anything else. You just want to have fun, engage people. So we were in chair number three coming back, and we were like, we want to avoid pitfalls. We really want to hang out with 12-year-olds and below, and we want to hang out with retirees. We were having a blast. Everybody else between 12 and 65, they're all doing this, and they're all running around. We're going, what in the world are you doing? Where are you after? What are you chasing? I don't get it. No relationships at all. We got to understand what these pitfalls are and understand that they are there screaming at us. Let me give you some quick pitfalls to be aware of. The first one is the issue of fear. I stay in chair one and chair two because I just fear what God, people will do to me. Scripture says, I did not give you a spirit of fear. I gave you a spirit of love, self-discipline, and a sound mind. We fall into the pitfall of culture. I just explained to you. Our culture says, chase, chase, chase. More, more, more. You're only happy the more you got. The more you got, and it's an illusion that you'll never get. The more you have, here's what I know to be true. I have friends that have nothing, and I have friends that have a lot. The friends that have a lot have said a lot to me, the godly ones. It's not everything that's cracked up to be. More responsibility before God. And I'm here to tell you today is that our culture has taught us to go after more. And at the end of the day, that is not what's going to last. They aren't going to remember where you were at. They're not going to remember your title, how much money you had. I have never heard anybody talk about how rich somebody was after they were dead. The people that are going to be remembered are the people that truly love God and love people. But our culture has taught us that busyness is what dictates the day. Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. Another pitfall to avoid is history. Well, Mick, you don't know my story then. I've tried to be in chair number three, and it hurt. And I'm here to tell you, there's nobody hasn't been hurt more than me. I remember when Dr. Kessler told me way back when, the president of Taylor University, he said, Mick, you're in for a rough ride. You have this idealistic view of the world that everybody's going to be hunky-dory, and they're all going to love each other, and they're all going to believe each other, and they're all going to love each other. You're in for another thing. And I looked at him as a 20-year-old kid, and I said, you know what, Dr. Kessler, you may be right, but I'm going to ride this horse to the last breath. If I get knocked off, I'm getting back on, believing that this can be possible. Your history may say you can't, and I'm here to tell you, the option of not is worse than engaging. Being lonely and by yourself. Another pitfall why I don't go to chair number three is simply me. I don't know how to do it. Never been there. I've only done surface relationships. I've learned how to create a wall around me. I'm tough. I'm together. I'm a man of steel. Nobody sees the real inside of me. You know what was crazy for me this week is that the European directors I've known for 32 years. It's a long time. Since 1985 when we were freshmen in college. And now they're the area directors. Known them for all these years. They've known me through all the craziness of my life. They knew me before my wife knew me. And you know what? They wrote me a note this week. They said, Mick, you've never lacked passion. It's always been from day one. But you know what they told me today that meant the most to me this morning when I read it? They said, what we see the most in you in your age is you're actually growing in your love for people. Not just passion, not just vision, but you actually are really loving people. And I stepped back and I went, whoa, have I been that me where it was easy just to do vision and keep everybody at distance? When you get a large church like I was at before, you have all your things in order and everybody doing their thing. When you start at an organic level like ours, you know, I walked in this morning, I chased a bird out of here. I had box springs out here in the back and I started almost to cuss and then I'd have to confess. So I scooted the box springs over to the apartments that put it here. I went out and picked up all the trash thinking, why are these people litter in front of our church? And that was the beginning of my morning. At my other church, somebody else would have done that. I'm here to tell you that it's pretty powerful when you get down on the level with people. And when people really feel like they are loved. We're all on a process moving towards that. May God help us to move and be vulnerable. But how do I get out of the pit? That's my last point this morning. That is this. You have some steps for connecting. Would you repeat after me? Say, let's connect. Let's connect in Jesus' name. Say it again. Let's connect in Jesus' name. And this connecting is more than on a Sunday. Do you know the average churchgoer in America says they are connected to a church if they attend once every 4 or 6 weeks? Then they're connected to a church. I'm here to tell you, that's not connection. We may be the church you go to whenever you go to church, but how can you really know somebody once every other month? And that in a 30-minute or an hour session, you've got to actually roll up your sleeves, actually get into community to understand what that church is and what they're about. And so if I'm going to take the steps, the first thing is I got to create a community. And the first thing that I need to create is a community that is safe. A community that's safe, that doesn't pick up a rock and judge. A community that says, your reputation is safe with me in your absence. Do you hear me? Your reputation is safe with me in your absence. No gossiping. I'm going to create a community that's a community of encouragement. Encouragement that says, we celebrate you. A whole thing of celebration and encouragement. When you are walking in and you're feeling down and you're feeling beat up and somebody just listens to you. You know the thing that I realize as I get older? My encouragement is not what I say. My encouragement is simply listening and engaging. Before, I was all about having answers. I like to talk. I get that. But as I get older, I understand encouragement is actually listening and engaging people and celebrating each other's, a community of celebration of one another's victories. So we celebrate with you guys today. We celebrate your next step. We remember this today. We come alongside people when they grieve and we weep with people who grieve. We are a community that does this in a way that will make a difference for the world. We need a place of comfort when somebody is hurting. And they're not going to be judged simply because they messed up the night before. This is the place they can come to get healing and restoration in Jesus' name. It's a place of accountability and a place that we truly try to care for each other. And a place that actually has a purpose. What I know about Jesus, my hero, that I talked about last week is this. He did not change the world through the masses. Did you ever notice that? He chose only 12. And he spent 3.5 years with them. He sent out 70, and out of that 70, he sent them out 2 by 2. He understood more time, if I have spent more time with less people, is greater impact for the kingdom. Did you catch that? More time with less people equals greater impact for the kingdom. In America, bigger is better. In the scriptures, everybody is worth an opportunity to be heard and loved and valued. Can I get an amen? We are committed to this. Understanding it makes all the difference in the world. So at this church, what we're going to do is what Paul tells us in Ephesians 4, that we will grow together, we will build each other up as we do our part. So we are committed to creating, as this church gets bigger and continues to grow, we will get smaller. Did you hear me? As it gets bigger, it will get smaller. And so we are creating groups that you can be involved with. The feeding group that fed the hungry yesterday is a group you can be involved with. The worship group is a group that you can be involved with. We're creating a recovery group on Thursday nights in several weeks that you can come and get the accountability that you need. We have a small group on Tuesdays that is a group that reads the scripture verse by verse that we can grow and hear God's word. We're going to create for those that are comfortable in homes that you can do life together and grow together and serve together. We've created classes and groups groups for learning to teach you your finances. And we have a class that teaches you about grief and helping you through grief. We have a class about single parenting coming together. We are not about programs. We're about creating these incredible organic experiences that you can do life together. You may not know everybody, but you are to be known and to be loved and to be a part of a church that's on a mission to know him and to make him known. Can I get an amen? Amen. So in conclusion, I ask you today, which chair are you in? Be honest, I don't you need to tell me. I want you to know one thing pretty clearly, and that is this. It is very scary to go to this chair. I get it. But this is where, catch this. Do you want to grow closer to Jesus? I am convinced you cannot grow closer to Jesus isolated in a cave by yourself. You actually grow closer to Jesus in chair number 3. And you learn the reason why I love multi-ethnicity and the reason why I love to go to different cultures is I see the way they love God so different than me, and I can evaluate and appreciate it and grow from that. I can grow from what they have given and be able to learn from them. My friends, I want you to be willing to come here to chair number 3. And if you've been here and you've left chair number 3, went back to chair 1 or 2, there's only one hope. The world is crying out today for real and authentic relationships. What I love about Mosaic Midtown Church is simply this. We have no special program. We have no fog machines. We have no fancy lights. We have no great program up here. We have no crazy video to woo and to wow you. We have no program. But the one thing that we have prayed when you walk into this place, whether you know who God is or not, whether you have a relationship with Jesus or not, is number 1 is that you will be loved. Number 2, you will sense the power and the peace of Jesus Christ here, and that we will, with everything we've got, is to serve him as wholehearted as we can as we go on this journey. This is what chair 3 is all about. So the question to you in closing, as we go on the road of the cross, how then shall I live my life? What chair will you be in? I'm going in chair number 3, but I'm here to tell you, if we're going to have any ability to reach Detroit and beyond today, it's going to have to be all of us or many of us that says, I'm going to be in chair number 3. I might be scared. I might have my reasons why I won't, but there is no other option. And I'm here to tell you that the God who created you exactly for this. The question is whether or not you'll say yes or no. Stop with the excuses right now. I see them in your heads and in your hearts. Stop with the excuses and allow God to do exactly what he needs to do in your life right here and right now. Can I get an amen? Amen. So here's what I want to do. In a moment, we're going to have an incredible celebration, and we're going to eat and celebrate a dedication and a commissioning. But before that, I want to pray together. I want us to hear from God. So would you bow your heads with me? I'm going to have the worship team to come on up. Lord, if I have said something that's not of you, I pray those words would go away. But if I have said something of you, I pray you would not allow us to get away from it, that you'd enable us to truly understand the road of the cross is an opportunity for us to truly do relationships the way that we should and the way that we need. Help us to get out of our busyness, our hurt, and our pain that sometimes gets in the way so many of the time. And so today, we just commit this moment and this hour. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I wonder this morning, is there anybody here that God is speaking to? And for whatever reason, whatever your story is, whatever it is you've gone through, whatever pain that's been dished out to you, I'm sorry you've had that pain. I never said the church was perfect. But nonetheless, don't let it get in the way of what he wants to do in your life. Is there anybody here that knows they need to move from 1 and 2 to chair 3 today? And if that is you tonight, I'd ask for you to stand. Is there anybody here that would be the case where I want to be in chair 3? Yes. I want to be in chair 3. I'm scared to death, but I want to be in chair 3. People are standing up. I want to be in chair 3. I don't want to do it by myself. Still give you a moment. My hurt says no. My trust in Jesus says yes. I know there's more people. I'm going to give you a moment. There's lots standing, but I know there's more people that need to stand. I know you have reason not to stand, but the greatest reason to stand, his name is Jesus. People are still standing. Lord, you see those that are standing right now. And you see those that are not, that should be. I don't care whether they do or they don't. What I care is about their heart. And right now, I don't know their pain, but you do. I'm so grateful. You know what they're feeling. You know what they're questioning. You know the whys. You know the doubts. You know the fear. You know every single thing. I'm praying right now that you would do something in each and every individual and touch them in a way that enable them to truly trust what you're up to. Powerfully, powerfully do that in their lives today. And we commit them to you. Bring healing that can only come from you, and healing that is sustainable and will last for the rest of their life. May they look back on this moment knowing that the God who created them is the God who heals them, and bring them into relationships that could bring the joy and the purpose and the reason for why you have them. And I lift them before you, and I pray your protection upon each and every one of them. I'm gonna ask everyone else to please to stand now. Would everybody stand? Lord, I pray right now that you would just hear us as we continue on worshiping. And I thank you that you've been in this place. We're going to continue worshiping by singing, worshiping in song, and by giving of his tithes and offering. So would you guys lead us now in a worship song?